40 days of unending display of supernatural. This 2016 is going to be the greatest year you have seen since you were born. Jubilee means freedom. During the season of Jubilee, one of the things that God does is to cancel every form of debt. He cancels every financial debt. There are people that came in here, you are in debt. And there are people who are going to watch us and hear us by tapes. You are in some form of debt. By the supernatural hand of God, we are rolling that burden away for you. That's one of the miracles of Jubilee. Jubilee has a number of things that God does. But one of the debts that he cancels is the debt of sin. The mighty man of war, the Lord of Sabaoth, my hiding place, my rock of defense, my eternal foundation. I worship you this morning. The great I am. Glory be to your name in the highest. Thank you for your glory that is tabernacle over us. Thank you for your eyes that is watching over us. Thank you for your mercy that is over our lives. We glorify your name again. Have your way this morning. Glorify yourself in every life. Manifest your wisdom and your glory in this place. No one will live the same. Agabahi, Oboro, Shurema, Sivari, Stari, Sharika. Give the enemy a technical knockout that he will not be able to recover again in the life of everyone here. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be to your name. In Jesus' name. It's a wrong move for you to launch. When it's time to launch yourself, bring your best. So, return back. Yesterday, we talked about the ego. You may be seated. We talked about the ego. The ego has a time of hibernation. Because you see, renewal or rebirth is not just spiritual. There is spiritual rebirth. Like Jesus talks about, you have to be born again. But even for people that are already born again, sometimes they start losing their spiritual cutting edge. They need to retreat. What causes people to lose their cutting edge is that they've stopped practicing those spiritual disciplines that brought them to where they were. They've started becoming careless. And you have to tackle your beak like the ego. Tackle your tackles. And take care of your packaging. You have to tackle your morals and spiritual strength. In some cases, some people have started losing their anointing. And losing their spirituality, their Christian values and character. You have to do something about that. Then you have to do something about your hunting skills, your job skills, those things that enable you to deliver. And once you're through, your moral stamina is back, your anointing is optimum, and your skills are sharp, then you reorganize and repackage yourself. And when you show up, sometimes businesses need to do that. Ministries need to do that. A ministry emerges and it has a cutting edge, is delivering results. After a while, they plateau because people get tired, people wear out. But the scripture said, they that wait upon the Lord. But the greatest thing about this process is pulling off the old. Some of you see, if this weekend is going to benefit you, you need to understand what you are teaching. You need to go back and empty your wardrobe, all these old clothes and all that. There's a new phase to your life. Empty it, give them out, bring them here, drop them on the altar. Let PCJ go and give them. There are things now you need to release so that people that are still trying to come to that level can have them. Poor people can have them. And a new phase will hit your life. There are some of you now, that car you are driving is a coffin. You know, yesterday God was talking to me, but I couldn't give that word. A particular individual here, that car has tried to kill you more than once. Go and drop it on the altar. There is a bigger Benz. There is something hot on the way for you. You don't know where to pull off your old skin like a snake, so you can come out fresh. There are guys that need to drop landed properties. I read it for you yesterday. Hey, show it again. There is no man that has left house, brethren, sisters, fathers. And there are some of us, there are some relationships that has been tying your destiny down. You need to surrender it this morning. It's a painful, when you hear about sacrifice, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Quote it, Psalm 126. Show it to them, let them see. The eagle will take his beak and start hitting. You know, you don't understand, you know. Even hitting my nail is, you know, I don't wear long nails. Hey, can I find any of you ladies that has... No, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to make an illustration. Like when your nail is long, yes, come on, my dear. Let me see how long your own is. Okay, you are trying. This is what the eagle will do. It will fly to a very high rocky mountain, find where water has collected. It's going there to do hibernation. And it will take the beak that he used to hunt to tear flesh, but he has curved. It's supposed to be positioned like this curved knife. But now it curves in. So it's a big problem. The eagle dives down and he has only 1 second to catch something. And he does, and that thing curves in. He's not able to catch it. So he takes it and starts hitting it on the rock. Do you know what it means to remove these nails? No anesthesia. By hitting it on the rock.
It's very painful.
Have you ever had a little cut or anything, problem with your nails?
Yes, and it's pained me badly.
See these two fingers? They're not the same. This one, I had withdrawal. Just because of a small problem with my nail, I wasn't properly treated. And it almost destroyed my whole finger. Who has had withdrawal here before? You have had it before. How painful is that?
So painful.
You have had it, sir? Come. I was, I think, first year in university, but I went through hell. And it was almost a whole week. How is that?
It was terrible. Terrible pain. Terrible pain.
I hope they have found cure for it all. Because I don't know, in those days when we were in first year, I went to hell and came back. Just one finger. How can an animal, a bird, subject himself to self-inflict pain? That's what we call sacrifice. That's what we mean by sacrifice. Self-imposed pain in order to emerge the king of the forest one more time. That this happens around the age of 30, 40. And 20% of the eagle, members of the eagle family, failed to do that. They die. They die prematurely. Each one that goes through the process adds about 30 to 40 extra years to their life. And it's not just that they add it, they remain in charge. Some people people don't know when to give away some shoes. Pack those shoes that are covering your wardrobe. Go and drop them on the altar. That's your past, and you are still hooked to it. One plot of land, that's why you can't move ahead. Go and drop it on the altar. A sister sold only house that she had to go and finance a building project. It's a duplex. She came and dropped the paper, and the church, you know, got rid of it. And she moved from the duplex. This is, I'm talking about Lagos here, and moved into a flat. And people were asking her, what kind of nonsense is that? Is church making you mad? He said, you don't understand the process of renewal. I have become comfortable at this level, and I have been here for years. 6 months passed, she was living in flats. The year passed, the next year, and I met her. I said, how are things now? He said, you need to come and see where I'm doing the project. And we drove. It's in the island. She was building an estate. And she went and took one of the building because she wants to commercialize, you know, whatever. It's money that she's making. But she took one of the building and built, I don't know what to call that, whether it's a mansion or a palace. Because I went around and I said, what kind of thing is this? It was one job that she hit. She completed it. It's the profit that she is now investing. Then she started another project in Abuja. And her friend said, no, this is too much for you. You're a woman now. He said, no, when I was sewing, you were not there. When I was going through, look at it. They that sow in tears shall what? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Precious seed is what we call in scripture sacrifice. That's what God did the day he offered his son on the cross. Don't think he was laughing on the throne. But because he wanted a harvest of me, you, and you look here, you think this is a big harvest. No. That one seed has given God over 3 billion harvests of human beings. That's what he wanted. So he went through that painful experience. Even the man they offered, who willingly agreed to obey his father, on Gethsemane he cried, "My, is there no other way? I wish there is alternative to sacrifice." That's what Abraham had to do. What was Abraham? Was he crazy? Why will you give the only son Isaac? What are you doing? Are you mad? No. There is a bigger vision. And it is a nation of Israel. God promised me that my seed will be like the stars. But at the age of 100, the only thing I have is a son. You can see. He is about to go. So he took that son and laid him on the altar in order to have the nation. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith Abraham offered Isaac. For he knew that God, number one, was able to raise him from the dead. When a seed leaves your hand, it can be painful. But it doesn't die. There is a process that the seed goes through. It dies first. Then that thing shoots up. Resurrection happens. And then the next thing is harvest. That's how we got here. That's how we left the former level behind to step into another level. This weekend, God wants to stretch you. God wants to stretch you. You have to give God what you have never given to him before. When you want to go where you have never gone before, you do what you have never done before. I think it's somebody that said insanity is to keep repeating the same thing and expect, and why expecting a different result. It's called precious seed because it pains. That's what the ego does. It will take its beak. Come with me, my dear. Just do it at least only 3 times. You lift it, hit it hard on this. This is not stone, just. You actually did that.
Because they asked me to.
No, we are doing drama. I'm illustrating a message. I don't want it to be hot. Okay, if you really want to obey me, do it very hard. Oh, yeah. God bless you. God bless you. She trusts me to. It's not me I want you to trust like that. It's God. It's God. It's God. You know what I have found out? The tantrum doesn't stop the harvest, though. It doesn't. To be carnally minded is what? If you want to reason God out, you will never obey him. You will never walk by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Every year, you should have this season of personal renewal. You will remain on top. You will remain the king of the beast, the king of the forest. There are people now that are stagnating in their career. They need career acceleration. They need to accelerate promotion and move ahead. Let go of your big. You know what shocks me about the ego? It takes him about 150 days to do this because it's a very painful process. You know, the harvest doesn't come immediately. There are some cases where it comes immediately. But the truth is, the long-lasting harvest takes a little time. There is seed, time, and harvest. There is a little gap. It's like conception and delivery. There is a little gap for incubation, for that pregnancy to grow. It's like that in this issue. It takes the eagle 150 days. That's almost half a year. That's about 5 months plus. And then it will take its, the beak will now grow back. It will take that beak and start tearing out the taxus, those claws. They have become weak. They've become bent. They are not effective anymore. If you know what it means to remove your toenails without anesthesia, you just pull them out. If you know what it means, how does a person subject himself to this kind of thing? And you are the king of the forest. You are the king. You are the king of the birds. How do you do that? That's what the price for dominion. It's called sacrifice. Those are the two most painful. Then after that, this thing grows back. Then it's time to remove the feathers. Because at age 30 to 40, the feathers become so ugly, so dirty, the ego starts looking like the vulture. And it will remove all that feather. And it will stay there drinking water. Next time you want to do retreat, you know how to do it. Retreat is not just go and sit down in one place and say you are doing it. You need the word. You need water. You need the water of the word. You have to bring tapes because every retreat should have a focus. What am I trying to deal with? Why is it that I'm not doing well in my marriage? I'm taking 3 days to solve this problem. You take tapes. Tapes on the subject. Books on the subject. You are there. You slow down on too much enjoyment and you are drinking water. You are soaking these tapes. You know, I was telling Pastor Sarah, we're rehearsing some of my major turning points. I remember the time I did this ego, whatever, 30 days. And everything was on Idahosa's material. I went to Benin spend some time, and got everything that has come out of that man. I told them, even if he coughs on the side of the tape, I will pay fully. Give it to me. If he only sings, give it to me. And the rest of the tape is empty. And they were looking at me. That's what it took me. There are seasons you should concentrate on certain things. And you notice that your faith life is weak. And you are an ego. God has made us an ego. We are the ones with the dominion mandate. God's children are kings and priests. Well, you notice that you are not exercising dominion. Maybe it's dominion that is the subject. You take that. For this whole period, switch off TV. Switch off excessive entertainment. Switch off all these gossip magazines. Switch off all these distractions. You know the only thing I used to do during that 30 days, just to attend Sunday service. Service finishes evening. That great ego, who is our savior. You know the time he retreated? 40 days. When he marched out of that place, I read it for you yesterday, his fame went abroad. The people that want to be in charge of the today and the future have to learn what I'm saying now. And I want you to know, like the other time I was reading the story about these two young coppers, and they came into a bank to serve, but they had their mind that they are going to own a bank. It's not who is reigning now. It doesn't matter where you are now. Sometimes a businessman finds out I'm losing my cutting edge and he just retreats. Just take out a little, like the ego, maybe 5 months, retreat to an executive leadership program or executive business course in LBS or in one business school. You don't know how we have stayed relevant after almost 30 years of ministry. Most of my colleagues that we took off with, I don't even know where they are now. And you know, this renewal, there is spiritual rebirth, there is mental, there is physical. You hear about sometimes people going for detoxification. No, it's time to go for a rebirth. Physical rebirth. It differs. So when God was designing you, he had somebody in mind. That's why marriage is not by force. You like, the person doesn't like, leave the person alone. There's somebody else that likes. It's not by force. Don't even get offended. The person says to you, I don't like you. Don't get offended. It's better than for somebody to deceive you and get in there and you have your enemy in your house. The Bible said a man's enemy shall be members of his own house. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Better to have enemies outside than to have it inside your house. Okay. We come back to precious seed. So, but you know the amazing thing? The tantrum or the emotional whatever, it doesn't stop the seed from working. What stops it is disobedience, not sowing. But once you obey, the law of abundance comes into motion. So if I take corn and put in the ground, and I throw tantrum, this is corn I should eat, why am I planting it? And I go through all that, but finally I put it. Once it enters the ground, another law switches into motion. You know, I had that car, first car I ever had. It was a Mercedes, white. And I really believe for white, and I got it. I don't know why I don't like white anymore. But then, school, it was white. I don't know why. White caught me. Today is black. Especially for SUVs. Anyway, white. I finally got it. Somebody buys it and sends it to me. I sold for it. I sacrificed. I got it. And you know, first car, you treat the car like it's God. But one time that car, I was traveling with a group of people. I had our keyboardist and a couple of other people, you know, and it flew from the ground and landed on top of a tree. Can you believe that? We landed on the tree upside down. The tires were up. But we had our seat belts. It was only one person. I had two cuts in my body. One on my head. And then, you know, one person. But we came out fine. And I was, people ran, you know, people came from the road. They were, what happened is that there was a very deep valley on the side of the road. And there were cashew trees that grew from the bottom of the valley. If the cashew did not catch us, we would have tumbled down too. And we followed the branches of the cashew and climbed out. Because we didn't go inside the valley. The branches also came out. And that's how we... And we helped every other person. And four of us came out and we were fine. And I was lying down in the middle of the road. Cars are supposed to be coming. I didn't remember cars. I laid in the middle of the road. Actually, the truth we are not telling now. But maybe I should tell it so there will be contest. That car needed an engine work. And in those days, I used to save my tithe. I collect the tithe. It gets to the end of the month or maybe two. I go and release it. So the place where I collect my tithe, 10% of every. So I went there, knelt and told God, let me borrow it. Just 30,000. Let me fix this car. I will pay you later. And you know, show them the scripture. If you ever borrow your tithe, when you want to return it, you add 20%. That's God said that to discourage that. It's a warning. Don't ever do that. If you're going to work in financial covenant, you better, the starting point is tithing. You have to take that. The starting point is tithing. If you're not tithing, you are disconnecting the covenant. And you are bringing in the devourer. But anyway, I prayed. And answered the prayer. Because whether God say yes or not, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So, but I reported myself by myself. And he kept quiet. So I took it. Show it to them. When you ever borrow the tithe or touch the tithe, you should add a fifth. One fifth when you are returning it. It's penalty. You don't do that. Anyway. Amazingly, you know, things kept going on well. There was nothing bad. Money was coming into my hand. But instead of paying that, I didn't. Because I will pay the new tithe, but I'm owing some other ones. I'll pay the new ones, and I left that one I borrowed. And it kept on going. 6 months passed. I was heading to a crusade at Onitsha. On the way to the crusade, that car packed up, the propeller pulled out, some events happened, bad gallop, and you know, but it was all right. If a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, he shall add there to a fifth part. Give me a literal translation. After you find me the other scriptures, there are three of them, but let's just talk about this one. Okay, for example, now if you're a cattle, you rear cattle like Hausa Fulanis, and you have 100 of them. When it's time to tithe, what they do is that you allow the cattle to pass through the rod the man will come here and put, you can put like a goalpost, but the way the Jews do it is that you put a rod and put it in the ground and put a mark. Then you start allowing them to pass. 1, 2, 3. God said, don't choose for him his tithe. Let him choose by himself. Let them pass. Every tenth is his own. 9, the tenth one, remove it, is God's own. Then 9 again, the tenth one, remove is God's own. 9 again, until all of them has passed. You remove all that. That's God's own. But for any reason, you said, I want the animals back. Let me give God the financial equivalent. You will pay 25% penalty. Or 20% penalty. Do you know why he said not to do this? Because what the guys were doing is, they will check the animal. The one that has curved leg, they bring that one. God's there. They will count and then check the one that has scurvy. They bring it out. Then they will check the one that has curved eyes. Maybe he's partially blind. They bring it for God. And then Sunday service, you know, Sabbath day for the Jews. They will be singing and drag the animals to the altar. Show it to them. Anyone that offers the blind, the lame, or the whatever is an abomination to God. Those laws are given in the Bible so that we can give God his rightful respect, his due honor. God is not the one you go and dash your leftovers. It's not the poor. Giving to charity is different from giving to honor God. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept your person? Said the Lord of hosts. If you can't give that to your governor or your president, and you want to give it to God. Do you know, the Bible is complete. Like this kind of ministry that teaches eternity, teaches holiness, teaches all kinds of values, teaches national transformation. If you finish in a year and you don't teach people their priesthood, which is where giving is, prayer is, and all those other elements, you don't teach them that, you have doomed them. Christianity is complete. Is the probability is high that financial matters send more people to hell than even any other thing, than even immorality. Will God accept your person? Will he be pleased with you? Do I give things I've used and I don't need anymore? Yes, I give that. But when I give it, I know where I'm directing it. So it can be given to the poor or people that I'm better than. Because whatever level you have left, somebody else is still trying to break to that level. That car that almost wanted to be my coffin. You know what happened? That car now pulled the propeller. So I went back to that tight area. I said, God, this is the last time. But I will borrow one more time. I've not paid the old one. And I'm already owing. I said, please. This time around, I need to give the car a makeover. So it's not just the propeller. I had money to fix that. I wanted to do body work and spray it. And that's what I did. I actually went and did that. And I brought it out. It was new again. Wow. By this time, about 8 months have passed since I borrowed the first one. We now took off on this journey. We reached well. It was on our way to come back. we started flying in the air. And next thing, we are upside down on top of a cashew tree. And I'm sure it took about two of them with their branches or to hold us. When I came out, people were screaming and other people were coming to come and do rescue. I even ignored all those people trying to pull the car out and rescue the human being. I was lying on the express, on the road, flat, and forgot that cars are supposed to be. I was lying in the middle. I wasn't dead. I wasn't, you know, hurt or knocked out. Lying there because I knew immediately where the problem was coming from. So I said, God, with this blood flowing out, because the blood was flowing out from my head, coming into my eyes, I said, I use it to make a covenant till I exit this earth. Never again. Of course, on this issue of tithing, of course, I did a few things. I had to employ somebody who my finance had to go through. You know the way civil servants, they remove their tax before you know what you're taking home. That's how I started living my life. But here is the issue. This is how real tithers operate. They give automatic instruction to their account into church account. The same thing with kingdom partners. Partners are people who have this monthly commitment for financing the gospel or the kingdom or mission. It could be TV ministry you want to be financing. It could be whatever, but whichever area. You give automatic instruction. You don't wait for you to remember it. That's how my issue of tithing now is such an issue that it requires another person to. If they now misbehave, so they can carry the cost and leave me alone. When you keep it back, the 90, it brings a cost. The issue is that tithing is not favor that you're doing to God. It's like maybe like giving or sacrifice where you go. And no, tithing already belongs to God whether you give it or not. If the charge that he placed on the universe for being the owner of it. And I have never seen anybody who does that. You own a business, then you let the manager have 90. You, the owner, gets 10. Nobody does that. Will you do that? Build a company and give away to your employees 90. Now, we are stewards, not owners. Say it with me. I'm a steward and not the owner. Say it with me. I'm a steward. And not the earth. Say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay. You think you are the owner. How much did you come with when you are coming out of your mother's womb? Even panty, you didn't bring. Ordinary toothbrush, you didn't bring. Of course, the day they said they gave birth to a baby and he's coming out with a toothbrush, they will ask for deliverance ministers to appear. Singlet, you didn't bring. And guess what? The Bible said, the same way you came here, that's how you are going. You are leaving all of them behind. You see all this thing you're calling your property that you bought them? You are leaving it behind. You see all this thing you're calling your car? You are leaving it behind. Because that matter came from God's earth. That rubber that you are running on your cutter came from God's earth. It has to be returned. Even your body came from God's earth, so they have to return it. It's just your inward man, your spirit that came from above that is going there. So God is in the business of recycling. Check now, he's the one that started it. Water, you drink it, you woo it back. And when you woo it, the ammonia and the other ones will go back to the soil. And the sunlight, the heat of the sun will extract the water out again. send it up, recycle it, send it down back as rain. And guess what? You drink your urine. Even here, now, if the AC doesn't work well, you notice there are millions of pores on your skin just to give water back to where you collected it. You start sweating. The food you ate, some part has been consumed as energy. The other ones, you give it back to the toilet. The toilet gives it back to the ground. And guess what the ground does? The ground gives it back to the trees. And the trees give you back food. And you eat your poo-poo. Each time you hold an apple, you are holding a money. Each time you flush the toilet, you are flushing away food. So, the whole of creation is ruled by giving and receiving. Anything that lives, gives. If it stops giving, it dies. Okay. Let's do an experiment. You don't believe in giving. No church should talk to us about giving. Or yeah, you only believe in receiving, coming to God to collect. Or yeah, everybody breathe in. Hold it for the next 1 hour. We'll conduct mass burial. The same way you start dying financially the moment you start hoarding. Show them the scripture. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and he turns to poverty. There is a portion I'm supposed to keep back. More than his meat, and he turns to poverty. Giving is living. Giving is living. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is the other one that hoards, and he turns to poverty. I have never seen a wealthy, stingy person. Maybe your uncle is like that, but I'm here to meet them. That he doesn't give to you doesn't mean he doesn't give. So the ego subjects itself to self-sacrifice in order to experience self-renewal. And I want to show you this scripture. Psalm 103, show it to them. He renewed my youth like the ego. Instead of growing old, the guy emerges with the strength of his youth one more time. He satisfied my mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like what? The eagles. How does the eagle do that? Isaiah 40 explained that by learning to go and wait on the Lord and to pull out and to give away and sacrifice the old so he can step into the new. And that sacrificial experience is painful for the ego. And like I said, 20% of the egos fail to do that. They die. They die in the middle of their lives. There is that 20% in the church. You are born an ego. You have a dominion mandate. You are to be the head and not the tail. But you have not understood the revelation of giving. Generosity is still a problem for you. Your hand is like this. Try to give me something. Try. There are two things required in getting things from God. Two things. One is a disposition. But the other is an act. Oh yeah? Try to give me something. Money, anything. Yes? Come, I want them to see you. Come. Yes? Give it to me. Give me the money. Give me the money. You see, to receive this, I have to lower my hands. Am I correct? Huh? Give me. As long as I put my hands above his, I can't receive. To receive things from God requires humility. For a bucket to collect water from a tap, you cannot rise above the tap. What do? You lower under it. That's the first one. People who flow in financial abundance recognize God as their source, not their job as their source, not their career as their source. They don't say, I'm a self-made man, because you're a God-made man. Do you know that even that energy you are using to go and create wealth, that is God that gave it to you? Haven't you seen young people like you, crippled, lying down like this, they can't move? Do you know that even that tongue you're using to communicate and you think you're too much is God that gave it to you? Do you know that even that your brain that you think is sharp, do you know all it takes is just one small knot to be loosened in it? You tear your clothes. All it takes is one small knot. Just one small. You say you are self-made, that you are the one that created that world. There is nothing you have you did not receive. So, humility is acknowledging God as your source. That's why you give him back the glory and the credit. And people that know that God is their source, that he's the landlord, they don't have issues giving to him. And they don't also have issues giving to people where he instructs them. Because they know that anytime he tells you to do that, he's about to load something new in your hand. Create space for something else to happen. Create space. It's a mental illness. Oh. It's a mental illness. When your whole world is about me, what I get. You don't understand that giving is living, and living is giving. Stagnation creates death. God sent me for one reason. That's what he told me. That he wants to push a couple of thousands of people to the next phase. Some of you are doing well already, but that's not all there is to your destiny. The second thing about receiving, try. Everyone see my hand. And maybe what is causing me to hold it like that? Bring the other one. I saw. This is 200 naira. Let me see what you're trying to give me. 1,000. What is causing me to stay like this? Might be the 200. But oh yeah. That's what is going on with certain people. God has been trying to get something. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something much bigger into your hand. Anyway, I came back from that place where I just carried that car, went and dumped it on the altar. I said, you will not kill me. You are given to me to be an instrument of transportation, not to be a coffin. And because of a small car, it's not even whatever, flat, I'm now, my covenant with God, which I have kept for years, I'm now misbehaving because of you. Carried and dumped there. And then I went and straightened myself with God. I didn't do it overnight. It took me a little time, about 3 months, but I got. Because when you want to do what is right, I don't care. That car stayed in that mechanical because it had damages. And it was stayed there for a long time. Of course, finally, I ordered him to come and sell it and go and give the money to the church. Strengthen myself. I think it was October, November era. two brand new cars. Completely on another level. Not all this quick. In those days, now one was a V-boat and we were feeling like big men, you know. A-class. If you know where I'm coming, we're feeling like. And then time passed. God said, it's time to leave that level behind. We need to give it. But I have broken my hymen. I'm no more a virgin when it comes to giving. Because there are people here who are still with this aradite hand. You don't understand what you are talking about. Because you have had a struggle in this area of your life for years. I'm no more that stingy, struggling. No. I dropped it with ease. Time, a little time passed. We stepped into a whole new breath of fresh air. I think it was after that season, I decided Tocumbo era. All this American is over for me. I'm through with that. One year I gave away 17 cars and didn't even know that anything happened. Because that's what happens. Whatever level you give, you subdue. You become master of it. You have dominion over that level. You know, my friend taught me this, Apostle Ndobe. He said, if you give God $1 million, I remember the first time I did that. Yeah, it felt like, oh my God, I drew all the blood in my body and poured on the altar. And I didn't have the money, but 100,000 there, I paid it off. I don't allow a vow last more than 30 days. But anyway, after paying it off, he said to me, do it again. You have not conquered it because you are still feeling. He said, once you, and then I did it again. There was a gap, about 6 months gap. I did it again. Next year he comes and he said, do it again. You have not conquered it well. I can see how you are still, this 1 million thing is still like, do it again. Kill that level. And I did. And I was liberated from that gravitational pull for $1 million, $2 million thereabout. Even as a businessman, the kind of ideas, the kind of contacts you'll be having now, the level of relationship, the things you'll be attracting, because the law of attraction, one of the laws of attraction, there are seven of them, is giving. Giving decides the kind of things you attract, the kind of opportunities, the kind of influences, the kind of jobs, the kind of things that the world exposes you to.